wanted to be admitted into a good school. The only one I was interested in was Juilliard, and I had no idea how I was going to make my dream come true. After my stepdad ran off, it only took 3 days for the principal to call me into his office to tell me they got an anonymous phone call informing them I was home with no parental supervision. A few hours later, I was sitting in Child Protective Services, waiting to meet my caseworker. They looked for him everywhere, and I secretly prayed every night they would never find him. They didn't. I had been thanking God ever since. It didn't take long for them to place me with a family. I was only at the boarding house a few weeks, tops, which was surprising, because I was technically not an ideal foster candidate, meaning I wasn't a baby or a toddler. The only downfall was I had to move from the only place I'd ever known to Manhattan, leaving behind Susan and my dance studio. I often wished she would have adopted me, letting me stay in my hometown. We wrote emails to each other every so often, but I never got up the nerve to ask her why she couldn't take me in, too apprehensive about what her answer would be. The last thing I wanted was to stay in a place I wasn't welcome. My foster parents weren't so bad, though. I'd been living with them in a small New York apartment near the Manhattan Bridge for the last 2 years. They provided me with a roof over my head and food to eat. Other than that, I was pretty much on my own. Thank God there was a ballet studio not far from their home. I'd ride my bike over there every day after school, just to watch from the windows, wishing I could be dancing like they were, yearning for the music that once swept me away from reality to take me away again. One day I got caught up in the melody, dancing right outside the studio along with the girls, while they were practicing a routine inside. It never crossed my mind that I could be seen. Then the bell dinged above the studio entrance, startling me. I almost jumped out of my skin. "Honey, you have been here for weeks. What are you doing out here?" I bowed my head, embarrassed I'd been caught. "I'm sorry, ma'am. I was a dancer back home in Rhode Island. Watching you gives me peace. I apologize for interrupting your class. I'll be going now," I said, walking past her to grab my bike. "Don't be silly. Come inside. You probably know the routine better than most of my girls," the instructor gestured to the building. She walked me in and introduced me to the other dancers. They were all very welcoming, inviting me to dance with them for the day. I didn't have to be told twice. When the class was over, the instructor told me I had a talent like she'd never seen before, and I was allowed to come to class as long as I helped out around the studio. I'd been there ever since. The sound of the car door shutting brought me back to the present, pulling me away from my thoughts. Rolling down my window, I watched Luis walk toward the two men in suits. I sat there like I was told, for a second, fighting the urge to open the door. I hated being told what to do. I wasn't a child. I had never been. Especially now. I'd seen too much. Experienced more than anyone my age should have, making me feel and act older than I actually was. The wind effortlessly made its way into the car, bringing a strong, masculine scent of cologne with it, assaulting my senses and every last fiber of my being. It had to be him. Before I even knew what I was doing, I stepped out of the car and followed Luis across the lot. I didn't receive the warm welcome I'd expected. To be honest, I didn't expect anything of what had just happened. All I knew was my nerves were set on fire the entire time I stood there with them. Watching him, inhaling him, feeling him. A hot blaze roared through my body like nothing I had ever experienced before. He had me questioning who he was and how he had this hold on me. I hated and loved the newfound feeling he produced deep within my core. It was overwhelming. It was frightening. It was all-consuming. It was everything. I wanted to know every single thing about him, including the man beneath the ruthless bastard. Behind the power. Behind the suit. Behind the dominance. Underneath the bright green, soulless eyes, which showed no emotion whatsoever. Not one. "Lexi, Luis announced, parking his car in front of my house. "Hmm?" I replied, still lost in my thoughts of tonight. "Martinez has no sanctity of value for anything or anyone. Nothing is sacred to him. He respects nothing. It's why no one shakes his goddamn hand. He's a dirty, ruthless motherfucker, Lexi. You need to stay away from that son of a bitch. He won't think twice about fucking you over, or fucking you, period. You won't be 15 forever. I know what you're thinking. I can see it in your eyes. And if I can see it, I know he could too." I would remember his exact words for the next 3 years, until I would see him again.
"It's why they call him El Diablo."
Knowing all I wanted was to meet the devil.
This audiobook has been broken into multiple parts to make the download faster. You have reached the end of a part, but not the end of the complete audiobook, so please check your library for the next part of this audiobook.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.
This is Audible.
Alexis Audiobooks presents the unabridged recording of El Diablo, The Devil, The Good Old Boys spinoff, written by M. Robinson, performed by Lauren Sweet and Marcio Catalano. Chapter 23. Martinez. Austin fucking Taylor. The good old boy who was proving to be a major pain in my ass. He was damn lucky he made my niece happy. The last thing I needed or wanted was for Briggs to fall in love with a fucking southern boy from Oak Island, North Carolina. But fucking fate slapped me in the goddamn face again. You'd think I'd be used to it by now. She'd been with him for the past 3 years, playing house in the apartment I provided for her. Not him. They met in Miami at one of the parties I sent her to supply. Things didn't become official until I watched them run into each other a year later, on one of my cameras at the dance club I owned downtown. I ran a background check immediately, discovering he was fucking harmless. He started traveling with her behind my back, and when I called her out on it, she conned me into hiring him as her bodyguard. I wasn't a goddamn idiot. I knew they were fucking each other. Briggs seemed to have a thing for bodyguards. All those romance books she read. She wanted a hero. It wasn't like she needed defending. Up until recently, with Hector. He'd been an old acquaintance of mine, who wanted to fuck my niece since she grew tits and an ass. The second he requested a meeting alone with her was the moment I knew I could test Austin. I just didn't know he would show up to the meeting. Fucked up. On my drugs. Both of them trying to recover from 3 days of non-stop partying with clients. Things went south, fast. Austin was lucky I didn't put a fucking bullet in his head. Hector, on the other hand, wasn't so lucky. Needless to say, Austin passed with flying colors, defending Briggs with his life. Exactly what I was paying him a fuckload of money to do. But it wasn't about the cash. He loved Briggs. Even a blind man could see it. The man wore it proudly. A man like me could respect that about a man like him. He wasn't made for this life, and neither was Briggs. But that didn't stop me from bringing her into it anyway. I heard the lock release on Briggs' apartment door. She lived there, but I owned it. The door swung open, revealing Austin and her pretty much try-fucking each other in the hallway. His hand immediately reached in her panties.
"Jesus Christ! You can't even keep your fingers off my niece's pussy long enough to walk through the goddamn door!"
I roared, taking in the debauchery in front of me.
"Uncle!"
Briggs shrieked, shoving Austin away to pull down her dress.
"You're lucky it was my fingers, not my tongue. Next time, knock on the fucking door before you make yourself at home in our apartment."
Austin spewed, pissed I was there unannounced and uninvited. I cocked my head to the side, arching an eyebrow.
"Our?"
Did I stutter?
"Austin," Briggs coaxed, gently placing her hand on his chest, trying to get him to back down. He wouldn't. And I fucking respected that, too.
"This isn't her apartment. It's mine. I pay for it. Briggs, how about the next time you ask someone to move in, they are aware of who fucking owns it first?"
"There won't be a next time. I'll start paying for it. Just tell me who to make the check out to," Austin said, not backing down. He hated me. I guess I would too if the woman I loved was related to a man like me. I'm sure Briggs told him all about her childhood, painting me to be the villain I always wanted her to think I was. The monster that didn't show her any affection when she was growing up, showing her the cruelty and reality of the world instead. I grinned, narrowing my eyes at him, contemplating if I really wanted to go through with what I had been thinking ever since Briggs fucked up the meeting with Hector. Austin may have been the one on drugs, but she allowed it to happen, when she was supposed to be in charge and in control of the situation, proving to me she was being blinded by love. I looked back and forth between them, before my stare settled on Briggs. She eyed me warily, knowing I wasn't there for fucking chit-chat. "I've decided to make some changes. You want him involved in every aspect of your life, Peladita. I can't stop you. But I'm personally over the fact that you're spreading your legs for the goddamn help again." Austin stepped toward me, and Briggs held him back. I scoffed, standing. Placing my hands in the pockets of my slacks, I rounded the corner of the island unfazed, stopping about a foot away from them. Briggs stood right in the middle, waiting to intervene if needed. Even after all these years, she still feared me, and I would be lying if I said I didn't fucking hate it. "Since you're so fucking involved in my business and what's mine," I paused, looking at Briggs, "including this apartment, I've decided to promote you."
"No!"
Briggs yelled, stepping toward me, knowing what I was about to do. My niece knew me as well as I knew her. I could control Briggs. Now, since I knew Austin wasn't going anywhere, I needed to control him too. And nothing made a man think he was in control more than power did. I knew Austin would be chomping at the bit. I was about to make him an offer he couldn't refuse.
"You can't fucking do this, Uncle. I won't let you. He's not..."
"Baby, I don't need you to answer for me," Austin sneered, pulling her aside to stand in front of me instead. Man to fucking man.
"What you did in Colombia took some fucking balls. I can appreciate a man that protects what he thinks is his. You would have shot Hector in the fucking face had Briggs not stopped you. Without even batting an eye, I know you would have pulled the fucking trigger. I was 14 when I had my first taste of blood. I murdered a man point blank, protecting what I thought was also mine," I informed, giving Briggs a piece of my life's puzzle. A glimpse of who I was. Even though she would never know the truth about my life, I wouldn't allow it.
"Uncle, please, don't do this,"
Briggs whispered, her head bowed with an expression I couldn't see.
"I don't need both of you. Austin here,"
I nodded toward him, "he's now in charge."
"What?"
he replied, confused.
"You want to be the boss man? Well, here's your fucking chance."
"You want me to take over Briggs' job?
I can't do that to her," Austin stated with a sincere tone, shaking his head.
"I can never take this away from her. It's..."
"She'll be right there with you, won't you, Briggs?"
She glared at me with an expression I had never seen before. She loved Austin too much to ever leave his side, especially when it came to this life. She wouldn't say no. I had her right where I wanted her. Bottom line, it would keep them safe. I would make sure of it.
"He doesn't know what..."
"And that's why you'll teach him. I'll have someone else take over the traveling for the time being. He will run New York with you. Look at it this way. He will have plenty of time to fuck you in your own bed,"
I mocked, repeating what I overheard him saying to her as they opened the door. It was the first time in over 15 years, after everything I had put her through, made her see, made her experience, that she wanted to tell me she fucking hated me. I could see it in her eyes. And it took everything inside me not to tell her I loved her more than anything in this world at the same exact moment. My phone rang, breaking through her plaguing thoughts. I grabbed it out of my suit pocket, putting a finger out in front of me before I turned to answer it.
"Habla,"
I ordered. "Talk," walking out onto the balcony, shutting the door behind me.
"Boss, there's this girl at the strip club. She says she needs to talk to you. She won't fucking leave. She's adamant about seeing you, and only you."
"Get rid of her."
"I tried. She..."
"I don't give a flying fuck. Get rid of her, or I'll get rid of you."
"Her name is..."
I hung up, placing my vibrating phone back into my pocket. I walked back inside, ignoring the calls, waiting not so patiently to hear the two words that would forever change my niece's life in ways I never expected, and would spend the rest of my life trying to make up for.
"I'm in."
I nodded and left. Getting into my limo, pouring myself a glass of whiskey to take the edge off what I had just done,
We still had to make a few more stops on my way back to the strip club, lining everything up for the coming weeks, needing to meet with some partners to let them know Austin was taking over Briggs' territory. Effective immediately. My head was fucking pounding by the time I walked through the back entrance of the club and into my office. I sank down into my leather chair, placing my elbows on the desk, instantly resting my head in the palms of my hands, contemplating if I was doing the right thing by putting Austin in charge. My thoughts plagued my mind day and night, one right after the other, so unforgiving and malicious, punishing me for intervening in my niece's life once again. Power changed people, but I figured it might have been in Briggs' best interest if she saw the truth beneath the fiction, or at least that's what I told myself. The commotion from the hallway outside of my door broke my concentration, dissolving my conflicting thoughts. I leaned back in my chair, rubbing my fingers back and forth over my mouth, trying to overhear the voices getting closer and closer to my door.
I know he's here. I saw him get out of his limo and sneak in through the back. This is bullshit. I'm talking to him whether he likes it or not. I've spent all day here and I don't have any more time to waste.
The uproar came closer and closer.
Ma'am, Rick shouted after her. I told you to stop calling me that. My name is Lexi. Lexi.
I grinned, amused, shaking my head. The fucking girl still had brass balls. I couldn't help but wonder if she was here because she had grown a pair of tits and her ass filled out. It had been 3 years since I last saw that little spitfire, and my cock was more than eager to see what waited behind the closed door. My demeanor quickly changed as soon as I watched her barge into my office without a care in the world, especially for the pissed-off man sitting behind the desk.
Well, well, well. Look at what we have here. Have you ever heard of a goddamn phone?
I asked, cocking my head to the side, taking Lexi in. Rick ran in after her, out of breath.
I'm sorry, boss. I... Leave us,
I ordered, in a harsh, demanding tone, waving him away with my hand. He apprehensively nodded, taking his sweet-ass time to leave. I resisted the urge to tell him to move fucking faster, shutting the door behind him, not a moment too soon. Lexi swallowed hard as soon as he left, stepping further into my office, looking from me over to the chair in between us, silently requesting permission to sit down. I didn't grant her any leniency. She sure as hell didn't deserve it. She should have known better than to barge into my office like an uncaged animal. She must have forgotten who she was dealing with, and I was fully prepared to fucking remind her. But mostly, I just wanted to fuck with her. She made it so damn easy. I glared at her with a predatory regard, placing my feet up on my desk one by one and leaning back further into my chair, slowly, sensually rubbing my thumb over my lips, visually making her extremely uncomfortable as my eyes wandered over her body. It would take an idiot not to realize that Lexi didn't like being admired, like most girls with her appearance would. I didn't give a fuck. I wanted to look at her. So I did. She was no longer a little girl, for damn sure. Her dark brown hair was longer, cascading all the way down the sides of her face and shoulders, soft curls dwindling at the ends, accentuating the silky allure it still had to it. She was wearing thick, black eyeliner, emphasizing her intense green eyes that were trying to stare directly into my soul. It wouldn't take long until she realized I didn't have one, and for some reason I couldn't fucking fathom, it bothered me more than it had in years. I never stopped rubbing my callous fingers over my mouth as her gaze followed the movement of my hand, causing her pouty fucking lips to purse as she watched my every move, triggering my fingers to wipe off the bright red lipstick from her mouth. My scowl trailed down her neck toward her tits, which were on full display, just waiting to be freed from her hot pink lacy bra, right down to her narrow, tiny waist. I immediately envisioned latching onto it, guiding her down my cock. A thought that should have never crossed my goddamn mind, but I was still a man. And she was like the forbidden fruit I wanted to fuck. Her revealing cut-off top showed off her tan stomach and her pierced fucking belly button. Narrowing my eyes, I continued my visual assault down to her slender thighs, wanting to nestle my face between them. My cock twitched at the thought of her riding my face. She still had legs that went on for miles, barely covered by a small skirt, more like a piece of fabric that hid what I knew was her perfect fucking pussy. Topping it all off, she wore fuck-me heels. This girl was just asking to be fucked 12 ways a Sunday, barging in here dressed the way she was.
"What are you looking at?"
she asked, needing to break the silence between us.
"Whatever the fuck I want,"
Or did you forget this is my office you so rudely intruded in on?
Arching an eyebrow, I cocked my head to the side, adding,
So tell me, did you dress like a whore for me, little girl?
Lexi. I jerked back like he had hit me, stunned. I didn't... That wasn't the question, sweetheart. Allow me to let you in on a little tip. I'm surrounded by fucking whores 24/7. If I wanted one, all I would have to do is walk outside that door. He pointed directly behind me. They're a dime a dozen, dropping to their knees, itching to get a taste of my cock. Is that what you want? I sat down in the chair in front of his desk, slowly crossing my legs, leaning over on the bureau, giving him an ample view of my cleavage. I knew he liked what he saw. His eyes seemed to keep settling there. I had spent the last few months debating if I was really going to do this. Every time I looked at my acceptance letter to Juilliard, I knew this was my only hope in being able to attend the school. He was my last resort. Believe me, I didn't want to have to sell my soul to the devil. But what other choice did I have? It took me forever to apply the pound of makeup I had on my face, not to mention trying to find the sluttiest clothes at the local thrift stores. I started helping out a lot more at the dance studio these last few years, and Mary, my instructor, was adamant on paying me now that I was older. She didn't give me much, but it was something. I'd been saving almost all of it, and I had enough for my first and last month's rent at a shitty apartment, miles away from school. I would have to find a loophole in Juilliard's strict policy for first-year students. There was no way I could afford living on or near campus. Although none of that mattered to me. All my hard work had finally paid off, and I got accepted to the school of my dreams. Juilliard. This job could set me up for life. As much as I didn't want to be sitting here in his office, whored out, it was my only choice. I realized after our first short encounter that nobody stood up to Martinez. As much as he seemed to get off on my appearance, he also enjoyed my snarky tongue. It's not like I could help it. I wouldn't show fear to anyone. Especially him. Well, here's a little tip for you, I retorted, bringing his attention back up to my face. Maybe you should take one of those whores up on their offers. It might help get rid of your shitty attitude. Or they could just help remove the stick that seems to be permanently shoved up your ass, I proudly stated, smiling. His eyes glazed over. It was quick, but I saw it. He didn't falter, not that I expected him to.
I'd agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong.
I smiled, big and wide at him. I couldn't help it. I liked his asshole demeanor. I had him right where I wanted him. Before I lost the courage, I blurted out, I need a job, Martinez. He didn't waver. His expression was unaffected, blank. I couldn't tell what he was thinking, or if he was thinking at all. I couldn't read him, and it made me nervous more than anything. He retracted his legs from his desk, pushing back his chair. The sudden movement caused me to jump. He never took his cold stare off of me. Slowly standing, he buttoned his suit jacket and loosened his tie. I never met anyone who didn't seem to have any emotions or feelings, any reactions to anything, as if he was just callous and detached from the world. Or maybe he just knew how to pretend like he was. I knew all about pretending, and for some reason, it made me feel better, feeling as though there might be someone out there like me, but not just someone. Him. I cleared my throat. Isn't this usually where you answer? Do you give all your whores the silent treatment? I nervously laughed. Nothing. I pulled out the acceptance letter from my purse, laying it on the desk in front of him. His eyes went from me toward the paper for just a second, as if he already knew what I was going to show him. See, here's the thing. I'm a ballerina. I've been a ballerina my entire life. I don't ever remember not dancing. It's who I am. It's in my blood. To make a really long story short, my mom is... I stammered, not wanting to share my pain with anyone, let alone a complete stranger. Breaking our connection, I looked around the room as if the walls held what I was trying to say. I don't have anyone, okay? I simply stated, rubbing the back of my neck, seeking comfort.
Why is this my problem?
My head jerked up to look at him once again. I frowned, my disappointment evident from his response. I got accepted into Juilliard. I don't have any money. I mean, definitely not enough for tuition, housing, food, and everything else that I'll need. I just need a job. I came to you today because your place is the best strip club in the city. Fuck, probably the state. Jesus, maybe even the world.
Kissing my ass isn't going to get you a job.
He eyed me up and down, his eyes brazen and dilated.
You want to be a stripper, sweetheart?
He challenged, making his way over to the leather couch on the other end of the room. He sat down, leaned forward, and placed his elbows on his knees. His eyes bored into mine, like he was calling my bluff without having to say a word. There was something animalistic about the way he stared at me, almost like a lion before it attacked its prey, luring me with his eyes and his captivating demeanor, making me more nervous.
And what? You think you got it in you, huh? Then take off your fucking clothes.
I shook my head. What?
Did I fucking stutter? Take off your fucking clothes, Lexi. Let's see if you got what it takes to be my whore. Bring those perky little tits out. Let me see what I'm working with.
I'm...
What's wrong? Not so cocky now, are you? That's what I thought. Nothing but a fucking pussy with a nice rack.
He narrowed his eyes at me with a sexy, arrogant expression that I wanted to smack off his face.
You know where the door is. Don't let it hit you in the ass on the way out.
I know what you're doing. I didn't move an inch. I wasn't done with him, yet. He slowly, purposefully nodded.
Is that right?
He drawled out. You're trying to intimidate me. You don't scare me, Martinez, I stated, trying to hold my composure as best as I could. I knew he was testing my limits, provoking me on purpose, but this was a power struggle I wasn't willing to lose. There was too much at stake. My future. He slid back onto the sofa. His legs were wide open, filling up the expanded space that now seemed smaller with him sitting in it. He extended his arms, resting them on the backrest of the couch, angling his head to the side, watching.
The floor is all yours.
He motioned for me to come closer.
By all means, call my bluff. Strip for me, Lexi.
He watched me for a few seconds, or maybe it was minutes. Time just seemed to stand still. My heart was in my throat, and my pulse quickened with every breath. Martinez didn't bat an eye. He was calm, cool, and collected, displaying no emotion at all. So in control of his surroundings, of his demeanor, of me. Manipulating me to do what he wanted without even trying very hard. I wanted to please him. I wanted to make him eat his words. I wanted him to like me. This man really was the devil. The more severe and intense the situation, the better he was at remaining in control. He thrived on it. And there I was, willingly feeding it to him. I'd only just met the man, and I would do anything for him to keep looking at me with those sinful, green eyes. He looked right through me. I swallowed hard as I stood, hanging on to the back of the chair for support. The cool air caused my already heightened skin to rouse. Our eyes stayed connected the entire time as he watched my every move, like he was trying to ingrain it into his memory. Grabbing my ballet CD from my purse, I steadily walked toward his receiver, even though my legs were shaking. With my back now turned to him, I shut my eyes for a few seconds, needing to steady my emotions that were yearning to get the best of me. Before I could give it another thought, I placed the CD into the player and pressed the arrow button. The soft melody of the piano vibrated through the speakers, filling the space between us.
This should be interesting, he sarcastically stated.
I ignored his jab, letting the music calm my body like it always did. I would never be able to listen to this song again and not think of him. A part of me thought he wanted that. Me thinking of him.
I don't have all fucking day. T
tick-tock, sweetheart. I took one last deep breath and turned to face him. Nothing had changed about him, and I didn't understand why I expected him to. I shook away the thoughts. I was a performer, goddammit. I had been doing this my entire life. This wasn't any different. Just less clothes, but not by much. Slowly, I inched my leg out to the side, stretching, pointing the toe of my sky-high heel, accentuating my toned muscles from years of ballet training. I gradually leaned forward, sensually rubbing my hands down my thigh, to my knee, then down to my calf, grabbing onto my ankle. I aligned my torso along my leg, leisurely making my way back up, never taking my lustful eyes off of him. My hand continued its assault up the side of my body as I spun to face away from his daunting eyes. Glancing over my shoulder, I slowly worked my hips as my hands went for my shirt, easing it up my torso, taking it over my head effortlessly, bringing the small piece of fabric across my chest and out to the side, dropping it at my feet. I teasingly grinned as my leg developed to the side, almost reaching my ear, showing him just how flexible I was. My skirt inched up, bunching at my hips, revealing my barely there panties. Keeping my leg up, I pivoted my body to face him once again. Slowly, I brought my leg down, hooking my thumbs into the waist of my skirt, gracefully working it off my hips down to my feet. Pointing my toe, I flicked the discarded clothing toward him. He narrowed his dark, dilated eyes at me, recognition with an intensity I had never seen before, a gleam in his eyes that needed to break through all the sadness and despair, all the things that ate away at him. His serious expression captivated me in a way I had never experienced before, which only added to the plaguing emotions that were placed in between us. I stood there, exposed to the devil, in nothing but my bra and panties. He sat on the couch, more bare to me, and he was fully clothed. The irony was not lost on me. I shut my eyes, needing to get lost in the music, hoping like hell I would make it out of here alive, and I wasn't talking physically. I listened to any other name, the intensity of the instruments vibrated through my core, translating into the sexual movements I incorporated in my ballet. I couldn't open my eyes, too scared of what I'd see. The man I would find staring back at me. I didn't have to wonder for very long. I felt him before he even touched me, his dominating presence attacking my senses, the smell of him all around, overwhelming me in ways I couldn't begin to describe. I felt his strong, calloused fingers caressing along my spine as if he was trying to make sure I was real. I hated to be touched. Even after all these years, I despised it. Though in that precise moment, in that second, with him, I wanted him to touch me everywhere. My chest rose and fell with each brush of his fingers against my skin. He was standing behind me, moving my hair to the side, lightly skimming his lips across my exposed flesh, igniting tingles all over my body. From the side of my neck to my shoulders, awakening a craving deep within my core for the first time in my life. Do you have any idea what I can do to you, Lexi? How I could make you feel? How much I could make you come? He groaned into my ear, his raspy voice letting me know I was having an effect on him, as much as he was on me. I sucked in air as his fingers caressed the sides of my torso and again along my back. Tell me, he urged, never stopping the torment of his fingers. Have you ever been touched? I moaned in response, my cheeks turning a bright shade of red. I felt him move in front of me. He never stopped caressing my skin. His thumb skimmed across my lips, wiping off my lipstick as if he'd wanted to do it since I walked in. Where, Lexi? Where do you want me to touch you? He slid his fingers up my stomach, slipping them into the edge of my bra. I just about came undone, and he had barely touched me yet, not the way I wanted him to touch me. This is agonizing, pure torture. Another moan escaped my lips, just from the anticipation of what he was going to do next. Here, he taunted, grazing my cleavage with the tips of his fingers. I didn't say a word. I could barely breathe. He pulled down the straps of my bra, and in one quick but sudden movement, it was off. My nipples hardened from the cold air, but my body was burning for him. I could feel his stare all over me, yearning to touch me as much as I desired him to feel every last inch of my body. My soul. Jesus Christ, he breathed out. I immediately opened my eyes, never imagining the man glaring back at me would look so torn, so conflicted, so sad. I was more blown away by the fact I got to witness some sort of emotion and sentiment from him. Alec, you're so fucking beautiful, cariño. He froze, his eyes widened, completely caught off guard with what he just called me. Cariño. He didn't even try to hide the shock. It was plain as day, consuming his face. His body betrayed him. The pain and shame swallowed him alive in front of my very own eyes. What does that mean? What did you... He scowled, his demeanor rapidly changing into the man he'd always been.
Get the fuck out of my office, he roared out of nowhere. Now!
Grabbing my clothes off the floor and throwing them at me. I shuddered. Wait, what? Why? I asked, confused by the turn of events. What just happened?
Get fucking dressed. You look like a goddamn whore.
I couldn't put my clothes on fast enough for him, barely having my tank over my head, before he was over to me in two strides, grabbing my acceptance letter and taking a hold of my arm, pulling me toward the door. Let go! You're hurting me! What the fuck, Martinez?
If I wanted a lip from you, I would unzip my fucking slacks.
He gritted through a clenched jaw, shoving me out of his office, throwing my letter at my feet. Why? We weren't done talking. Please, what just happened? I don't understand. I thought there was something here. You felt that, right? I know you felt that.
I don't hire little girls pretending to be women. I don't fuck them either. Don't waste my fucking time again. Do you understand me?
I jerked back, the blow of his words almost as effective as his fist would have been. I could feel the tears pooling in my eyes, threatening to surface. I bent over, grabbing my papers. They were the most valuable thing I owned, and he was shitting all over them. I need your help. Why are you being such a dick to me? Why are you being so cruel? What happened to you? He took one last look at me with his once again dark, cold, soulless eyes, and rasped,
"The devil happened."
And with that, he slammed the door in my face. Chapter 24. Lexi. I stepped out onto the dark stage, taking a deep breath, like I did before every performance. This show was different. It was personal. It was me. The dance of the dying swan is a high point for any ballerina's career, but to me, it held a different sentiment. 6 years ago, I was supposed to be the white swan, but I never got my chance. This time around, I was both, the black and the white. I was finally in a place in my life where I was dancing. For me. This moment, I wasn't yearning to dance for my mother, wanting to make her proud, make her see there was more light in her life than darkness. None of it mattered anymore. This was my closure. I was the prima ballerina in Swan Lake at the American Ballet Theater in New York. People from all over the world paid money to come see me perform. I was 24 years old and living my dream. What I had worked so hard for had finally come to fulfillment. The stage lights came up, and the sad, melodramatic music started, instantly taking me away to a deep, dark, and depressing place, a place I needed to be to pull off this routine. The performance of a lifetime was what they called it, and they were right. Not too many ballerinas got this chance, and for that, I was eternally grateful. I'd been rehearsing day and night for the last 6 months, barely stopping to eat or sleep. And even then, I was still going over the routines in my mind. This act was the closing scene. If I did it right, there wouldn't be a dry eye in the sold-out Metropolitan Opera House. Almost 4,000 people would feel the emotions I projected through my movements. I started to move, floating across the abundant stage with my back to the audience, my arms like swan wings, gliding up and down as I made my way to center stage, turning ever so slightly to face the orchestra. Arching my back, my pointe shoes continued their assault on the marley floor beneath me. The melody of the stringed instruments pulled at my heart, mimicking my own sadness, carrying me effortlessly from step to step. Piqué, arabesque into a beautiful bourée. My torso leaned forward as my arms floated behind my back, repeating the movements over and over again, each becoming more and more intense as the music heightened, turning in tight circles, flapping my wings, letting the lights blur before me, the natural movements of my body instinctively taking me away to the only place I had ever felt comfort. Music and dance were my peace. They made me feel whole. I danced like it was my last show, as if my life, my happiness, my world depended on it, gliding fluently around the stage from one corner to the other, turning and twisting, leaping through the air as if I had been a swan in captivity all my life. Finally, free. The routine was over too soon. For the big finish and the demise of the beautiful swan, I positioned myself into a pirouette turn with a dramatic landing, easing down to my knee, sitting back on my heel with my left leg stretched out in front of me. I lowered my upper body to my knee, bringing my wings above my head, slowly falling. The music started to fade as my body rolled up one last time before gracefully dying. The stage went dark. Everything around me was black. Everything went quiet. Silence all over. The curtain dropped, separating me from the crowd. I stood up, taking a deep breath, preparing for my grand reverence, standing in fifth position with my arms in demi-second, waiting. The curtain lifted. The lights came on. A domino effect erupted from the rows of people. Everyone stood, applauding, whistling, cheering. I looked out at the audience, imagining all the beautiful, tear-stained faces almost knocked the wind out of me. For the first time in my life, I felt at home. After a few minutes, I walked forward to center stage and did a rond de jambe into a curtsy, placing my hand over my heart and bowing my head as the curtain came down again. The rest of the performers took the stage behind me. The curtain lifted one last time. The crowd once again went wild, and I loved every second of it. Even though there would be more performances, nothing would ever compare to my first. I didn't want the night to end. We exited the stage, and I was bombarded by the staff of our company and the choreographers. It would be a matter of minutes before the happy patrons would make their way to my dressing room, wanting pictures, signatures, everything under the sun, and I happily gave it to them. I was exhausted, but I wouldn't change a thing. My body ached, my feet throbbing in pain. I couldn't wait to slip my pointe shoes off. I placed all the bouquets of roses on the table, shutting the door behind me, needing some privacy, a moment to myself to breathe. I sat down in my director-style chair and unlaced my shoes, kicking them off one by one. My toes relished the freedom, flexing and rolling my stiff ankles. Standing, I slipped off my tutu and placed it on the counter, only leaving on my leotard and dance tights to go home in. I gazed in the mirror, getting ready to remove my caked-on makeup. "Nikolai!" I shrieked, alarmed, placing my hand over my chest, looking at the man that appeared in the mirror. "Jesus! You scared the shit out of me!" He smiled, pushing off the wall.
Is that any way for a prima ballerina to talk?
He pecked my lips, handing me another huge bouquet of red roses. I laughed. I had been seeing Nikolai on and off for the last year or so. I didn't really keep track, too consumed with work in the theater. Not that it mattered anyway. The relationship wasn't going anywhere, and we weren't serious. He was always traveling, something to do with his work or whatnot. At least that's what he told me. I wouldn't see him for weeks, and then out of nowhere he would just show up. Tonight, being the perfect example. He was a gentleman, sweet, attentive, caring, buying me things I never asked for, taking me into fancy places I wouldn't step foot in without him. He was like my very own Prince Charming.
How about we go back to your apartment, and you let me rub your sore muscles?
He kissed along my neck, down to the top of my exposed shoulders, peering at me through the mirror. I smirked. Oh, yeah? We hadn't done anything more than kiss. He was very patient with me. I still hated to be touched. Kissing was even too much for me sometimes. The only man I'd ever... It didn't matter. I hadn't seen Martina since he kicked me out of his office all those years ago. I wish I could tell you I stopped thinking about him. I wish I could tell you I hated him. I wish I could tell you a lot of things. It was like he put a spell on me, etching himself into my mind, making me think about him more often than not, especially when I was alone. It was hard not to let my mind wander, but it always wandered to him. When a man had an effect on you like he did on me, you couldn't help but ask yourself, why? Nikolai always respected my boundaries. I knew he wanted more, of course he did, but I wasn't ready. To be honest, I didn't know if I ever would be. I thought about going to see a therapist a few times, though just the thought of talking to a complete stranger made me uncomfortable. Maybe it was because I hadn't met another man like Martinez, another man that set me on fire like he did. Maybe I had daddy issues or abandonment problems. Whatever it was, I guess I just didn't care. I wasn't looking for answers, because deep down, I knew another man like him didn't exist.
Come on, baby doll. Let me take you home.
He grabbed my bag and hand before I could answer, leading the way out the door. He spent most of the limo ride back to my place, on the phone, speaking Russian to someone on the other end, completely ignoring me. I didn't mind, though. I just gazed out the tinted window as the lights of Manhattan went by in a blur. Sitting in his limo always reminded me of Martinez. I almost expected to see him if I turned my head. Growing up, I didn't think having a driver or a limo would be as common as it seemed to be. I had never been in a limo until Nikolai came along. I met him at the coffee shop by my apartment. I didn't have enough cash for my espresso, and he swooped in and paid the barista. We'd been talking ever since. I continued to watch the city lights pass by, waiting for Nikolai to wrap up his conversation as we were a few blocks from my apartment. It was near NYU, at one of the most expensive and posh buildings in all of Manhattan. I moved in after I accepted the offer to attend Juilliard the fall semester. The school administration never brought up the fact that I was violating the housing policy by living off campus, which I thought was odd, but I wasn't about to question it. I'd been living there since. Looking back, I still remember how I panicked, dashing through the city that week, trying to get any strip club to hire me after Martinez pretty much told me to go fuck myself. Not one of them gave me a chance. I started to get paranoid, thinking they knew who I was before I even walked through the door, smiling at the thought. I recalled walking out of the last establishment after being rejected again. I sat on the curb of the sidewalk and fell apart, not having a clue what I was going to do. After a few seconds of humiliating myself in public and enduring awkward stares, I got up, brushed off the back of my legs, and started walking toward the nearest ATM machine to pull money out of my account. I needed to take the 6 o'clock bus back to my foster parents' house. That morning, they informed me I needed to find my own place, since I turned 18 and I had graduated from high school, meaning they didn't get assistance from the state any longer to take care of me. So they wanted me out. I was no good to them anymore. I shook my head as I typed in my code, checking my balance before making a withdrawal. The balance flashed on the screen, almost knocking me on my ass by what I saw. I swear I was about to pass the fuck out. This can't be right, I said to myself, looking at the $250,000 on the screen. I immediately peered around me, thinking someone was playing a practical joke. This isn't mine. There's got to be some mistake. I canceled the transaction, grabbed my card, and slid it into my back pocket as I made my way inside the bank. I sat, waiting on the white leather sofa for the older lady sitting behind the desk to finish up what she was doing. My legs bounced a mile a minute, anticipating what they were going to tell me. What can I help you with, Miss... Lexi. She nodded. Lexi, what can I help you with? I know there's been some sort of mistake. I went to pull money out of my account, and there's too much savings in there. I'm not following. I nervously laughed. I had like a couple grand in my account yesterday. I just looked, and there's way more than that. Let's check it out. Placing her glasses on her face, she looked down at the paper I filled out to be seen. She began typing a bunch of numbers on her keyboard in front of her. The money was deposited this morning, dear. Looks like it came from an overseas account. An overseas account? I don't know anyone overseas. Listen, there's got to be some sort of mistake here. I don't want this karma. I already have a black cloud following me around today, ma'am. I'm sure someone is panicking right now, wondering where the hell their money is. The account can't be traced, Lexi, but it's definitely your money. I have all the proof sitting right here. She turned the screen so I could see what she was talking about. Oh my God, I breathed out, realizing she was right. She chuckled. Looks like you have a guardian angel, sweetheart. I made a withdrawal, thanked her for her help, and left. I hailed a cab and went straight to my school. I walked into the financial support office and immediately paid off all my tuition. Within the next couple of days, I paid off all my loans, too. The search for an apartment when you have money is so much more fun and easy. Our realtor scheduled a few showings, and I found one of the most luxurious, fully furnished apartments that money could buy. The move was a breeze. I only had a suitcase of clothes and a few more things. I hadn't spoken to my foster parents since the day I left. I could finally breathe, and I didn't even know who to thank for the fortune. They say money doesn't buy happiness, but it sure as fuck buys comfort.
What are you thinking about over there?
Nikolai questioned, as he shut my apartment door behind him and leaned up against it. Huh? I questioned, as I placed my keys and phone on the foyer table.
You seemed lost in thought all night.
He took off his suit jacket, tossing it over the back of the couch. Pulling off his tie, he strutted over to me with a predatory regard, a look I had never seen from him. Oh, I whispered, not knowing what else to say. He roughly grabbed my chin, angling my face to where he wanted it.
Do you have any idea what you do to me? How much I think about you?
I shyly smiled, looking up into his eyes.
The skin-tied leotard, accentuating all your subtle curves.
His other hand pushed aside the flaps of my coat, skimming his fingers up the front of my body. My stomach instantly dropped, instead of fluttering. An unsettling feeling coursed throughout my core, but I let him keep going, needing to push myself through the discomfort. I just wanted to be normal with a man who had been nothing but kind to me. He released my chin, walking around me, eyeing my body with the same predatory regard, only stopping when he was behind me. He pulled off my coat, throwing it beside his on the couch. His lustful eyes peered up and down, tilting his head to get a better view. Bringing his lips to my ear, he whispered,
"Your body is sinful. That's all I kept thinking about while I watched you perform tonight, Lexi. It took all of my willpower not to reach into my slacks and stroke my cock right then and there."
My eyes widened, my breathing hitched. He never spoke to me this way before. Everything about him in this moment was so foreign to me. It was like I was with another man, not the same one I'd spent time with this last year.
I couldn't take my eyes off you. No one could. My dick is so hard right now, just looking at you.
Nikolai,
Shh. Let me take care of you.
He murmured against my lips, easing me down onto the couch, readily laying his muscular body on top of mine, kissing me. At first, it was soft, like he was testing my boundaries, taking my slightly parted lips as an open invitation to slowly slip his tongue into my mouth. He tasted of scotch and something else I couldn't quite put my finger on. I was so confused and overwhelmed all at once, but I didn't tell him to stop. He deepened our kiss, tightly gripping the back of my neck, tangling his tongue with mine in an urgency I'd never experienced before, showing me he'd been waiting for this moment for a long time. When he parted my legs with his, placing his hard cock right on top of my heat, I shuddered. His hand skimmed down from my neck to the side of my breast, leaving a trail of disgust in its wake. He groaned loud and hard from deep within his chest, taking my trembling for something that it wasn't. I shut my eyes tight, desperately trying to block out the memories of my stepdad, his touch, his scent, his sounds. I placed my hands on his chest, but again didn't stop him, thinking that maybe if I felt him, I would realize it wasn't my stepdad. I was with him, the man I was supposed to be interested in, the one I should want to do these things with. Intimacy had always been hard for me. It was why I never dated. I couldn't. Pulling down the front of my leotard, he kneaded my breast. I went with it, even though my mind was screaming for him to stop, yelling for him to get the fuck off of me.
Jesus, Lexi, you feel fucking amazing.
He rasped near my ear, making my stomach recoil, fighting the bile that began to rise up the back of my throat. I let him think this was going to happen. I let him touch me like he never had before. I let him feel like I was his, when in reality, I was suffocating to shove him off me, another little piece of me dying inside. It seemed like the more time went on, the longer I let him have his way with me, not saying a damn thing about it. I tried. He became more aggressive, more demanding, more consuming, grinding his hard cock up against me. When his hand moved toward my pussy and his mouth retreated toward my nipple, I couldn't do it anymore. It was too much. Memories flooded my mind, one right after the other, playing like an old movie projector above me. I couldn't stop them from appearing, one scene and then the next. They were ruthless and unforgiving. Fuck, I whimpered, leaning my face away from his, forcefully shoving him off of me to stand. I couldn't get away from him fast enough. He stumbled back, catching himself on the coffee table. I'm sorry, Nikolai. I'm really sorry, but I can't do this. I lifted my leotard back up, tucking my breast safely behind the slim cotton material. He glared up at me, his chest heaving, his nostrils flaring.
Do you want to fuck him? Is that what this is about? Or are you already fucking him? Because you sure as hell don't want to fuck me,
he viciously spewed. What are you talking about? Who? What? I asked, shocked, not being able to connect my thoughts.
I see the way he looks at you. I see the way you look at him, too. You don't hide it very well.
I shook my head, confused. Who the hell are you talking about?
Your dance partner. The goddamn pussy who touches you like you're his.
He paced back and forth in front of me, roughly pulling at his hair. Are you for real? We're acting. We perform together. It's part of our job.
You're mine,
he roared, the veins pulsating in his neck, making me cower away from him.
You think I'm a fucking idiot, don't you? After everything I've done for you, waiting around like a lost fucking puppy. You're nothing but a fucking cock tease, Lexi.
I'm no one's, especially not yours. Now get the fuck out of my apartment, I screamed, pointing toward the door. Tears began to surface, and my body began to shake. My adrenaline kicked into high gear.
Oh no, baby doll. I'm not going anywhere, and neither are you.
He lunged at me, catching me completely off guard, pushing me up against the adjacent wall, my back and head hit with a hard thud as he caged me in with his arms. My vision instantly clouded, seeing nothing but spots. For a split second, I thought this was a joke. God couldn't be this cruel. He would never make me go through this again. My heart immediately dropped, and I instinctively screamed, trying to fight him off, pounding my fists against his hard chest. He chuckled against my face, pressing his body and cock closer to mine.
Fucking scream. You're just making me harder.
Somebody help me! Somebody fucking help me! I shouted bloody murder, putting up more of a struggle.
The walls are fucking soundproof, Alexei.
He rasped in a menacing tone that made my body shudder. What? I scoffed, pathetically thrashing around my entire body, trying to push him off and away from me. He held me closer, close enough to where I could knee him in the balls. My leg came up in between his and connected with his dick. He hunched over, and I thought I could run, but it backfired on me. He was able to enclose me even more. He laughed. The motherfucker laughed. He rose up, clearing his throat, staring me dead in the eyes.
You're going to pay for that, bitch.
Before I even saw it coming, he raised his hand and backhanded me across the face so hard, I instantly tasted blood. He didn't let up, hitting me in the face a few more times. I could barely hold my own weight. The room went out of focus as he punched me in the stomach repeatedly until I fell over onto the ground, hyperventilating for air that wasn't available for the taking. He kicked me in the ribs, causing me to fall on my back, cringing, trying to curl into the fetal position to protect myself. All I could see was red seeping into my eyes. He dropped to his knees in front of me and grabbed me by my hair, forcefully making me look up at him. Excruciating pain radiated through my entire body.
This is how it's going to go down.
He pulled out a knife from his pocket. I didn't have time to contemplate what had just happened before he dragged me by my hair over to the couch.
I'm going to rip off your clothes,
he sneered, gliding the knife effortlessly down the front of my leotard and the elastic band of my dance tights, ripping away my clothes, leaving me in just my sports bra and panties. Releasing my hair, he shoved me back down onto the ground as if I weighed nothing.
And then, I'm going to pull out my cock.
He unbuckled his belt, jerking out his sorry excuse for a fucking dick.
Now, I'm going to fuck you with it. With or without your fucking consent, you no good fucking cock tease.
He tackled me to the floor, gripping my hair from the top of my head this time, slamming it into the hardwood floor. Pain radiated throughout my body as I choked from the sudden loss of breath. The wind knocked out of me with his entire weight resting on my beaten body. My vision turned black again, forcing me to blink away the white spots.
Don't pass out. It won't be as much fun if you pass out. But trust me, it won't stop me if you do.
I felt him scoot